What are you looking at? You all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like us. You need people like us so you can point your fucking fingers and say, those are the bad boys of podcasting. So what? What does that make you? Good? You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. Us? We don't have that problem. Us? We always tell the truth. Even when we lie. So say goodnight to the bad boys of podcasting. Make way for the bad boys of podcasting. It's going off with Rev Critic and Muse RC. What a week. What a show.
I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I'm sitting in a car right now, you know, because I thought I'd get a better sound, but it might be a little warm. So you know what? Sometimes I might just open the door because I don't give a fuck. And so sometimes if you hear a car door slam, you know what I'm saying? And that's just me being real right now. So boom, boom, boom. We laid it out. We real.
Look, and you know, last time I tried to do my best to edit all that out, but sometimes I heard car keys and there's nothing I could do about that. If I hear car keys jingling or not when RC is talking, I can't do nothing about that.
Go ahead, baby. We're the Bad Boys Podcast.
So, folks, we're back after what feels like forever. And we got an update. How do we do this, RC? Do we just pull the Band-Aid off?
Well, I can't remember exactly what it is.
Just the fact that we're... That this is going to be the last year of the pod?
Oh, yeah, sure, right,
didn't think that would be something that easy to forget. But anyway, folks...
Look, when we're in the middle of doing it, we're doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's the denial.
Folks, I know this is the first time y'all are hearing about it, and I want to explain. RC and I talked, and there's a few different factors that went into our decision here. First and foremost is burnout. It's no surprise. I don't want to speak for RC, but I know you've got so much going on, as is so many different projects. You got the streams, you got the album reviews and everything. And on my end, I'll just be honest here. It's not as fun as it used to be. Not recording the show, but just the whole rigmarole, you know?
Right, yeah. The business of having to have to do it, you know.
And after 10 years, like, how many podcasts do you know? Well, maybe more, but I was just going to say, how many podcasts do you know that have been going for fucking 10 years, you know? Plan going forward is that we're going to honor all the previous requests that we have in the queue. We're not going to cheap out on any of those. Y'all are still going to get... the requests, the albums reviewed that y'all requested. And the plan is that hopefully by the time this episode goes live, this will be how it's set up on the Ko-fi. And I know this is going to set off a fucking, it's a mad world type situation, but everybody relax. Everybody be cool, like a bunch of little Fonzies, okay? We're going to have five spots for the last five requests. And
that's right.
We've decided on setting them at a reduced price of 100. So they're going to go quick. I would say open up another tab. Open up your phone right now. As soon as you hear me saying this, you might want to open up the Ko-fi right now because someone might jump in front of you. A certain doctor. Well, here's a question. Should we limit requests to people or is Dr. Goldman just going to get all five of them? What are we going to do? We didn't think this through.
I don't know. I just want to say, like, well, you know, we want to see if other people get them, but then if not, then let it. But how do you, you know, control for that?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Dr. Goatman, I know you are very, very gracious. You've always been good to us. I'll just say use your best discretion. If you want to leave some spots open for other folks, be my guest. If you want to leave some spots open and they don't get bought right away, just go ahead, I guess. If you want to get all five of them, if you got it like that, feel free. But this is an open call to off-goers who have wanted to get an album reviewed for a while, but the price was too steep. Now is literally your last chance.
That's right.
And I say that, but I want to throw it out there, and not as a means to get people's hopes up either, but we might bring it back.
That's the thing about it is, it's like, like I said, I'm recording this in a car, you know, we're trying to make the best of what we have, you know what I'm saying? Like, your good co-hosts stay busy.
Right. We got plenty going on, and I think one less thing going on would do us both a lot of good.
But it's not like we don't want to do it all. It's like if we find the convenience, and it's like, hey, let's do it. And then, you know what I'm saying? It's literally just scheduling. That's all this internet shit is. That's all that's happening behind all of this internet magic you're getting. It's just coordinating people's schedules. And the fact that this shit even happens at all is fucking magic, goddammit.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. So, just to reiterate here, 2024 will probably be the last year of the pod. I think we'll probably wrap up by you know, in the coming months. We will be honoring any album that has been requested already that is in the queue, and we'll have five new spots at a reduced $100 price point for the last five requests. And then we're going to step away for a while. And if we stay away for good, that's one outcome. If we decide to bring it back, that's a possibility too. We just want to lay it out on the table and just be upfront.
Oh yeah, like the Marx Brothers, there's just so much money. The people are clamoring. They're like, oh, we got to get you back for one more. You got to come back.
We're going to get Lorne Michaels on the set of Saturday Night Live trying to get the Beatles reunion.
Oh, man.
You ever hear that story?
No.
Lorne Michaels did a cold open on Saturday Night Live trying to offer, it was like a comically low amount of money to get the Beatles to reunite on Saturday Night Live. And as legend has it, Paul McCartney and John Lennon were actually hanging out that night watching the show. And they were very close to going down there as a surprise and being like, hey, what's going on? But they decided against it. And then, John was assassinated, very soon after. So,
holy crap.
Yeah, they just never had the opportunity. But yeah, that would have been fucking wild if all of a sudden Paul and John just show up. And they're like,
SNL.
Hey, we were in town. We just decided to show up.
That would have, made the show last even longer than it did. But, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, they were fine without it. And the legacy continues.
And now you know the unseen part of the story, or whatever.
But we got a couple requests this week, RC. But first, I want to tell you something you might find interesting. From the last episode, your girl Anain, Chapel Rowan, has a Tiny Desk concert that just went live on the NPR YouTube earlier today.
Is that so? Look at us. We're catching history in real time.
I know, right? She's got a cool look going on. She's got an all-girl band behind her. They sound great. The audience is eating it up. Fucking popping huge for your girl. So yeah, folks, check that out. See Chapel in action. If this is the last indie request we get, Low Flyers by Tom Maroon.
Yeah.
RC, I'm going to go ahead and say this. This may be one of the best ones we've ever got.
Quite fucking frankly, look, we are, honestly, when I listened to both these albums, I was like, are we even doing a job right now? We're just enjoying some
good ass
tunes.
We're just chilling,
RC. Oh my goodness, with this indie, but very well put together, you know, this man's, knows his, you know what I'm saying, musicianship, getting that real, white dude funk to it, you know what I'm saying? I was feeling that shit, this Low Flyer shit.
I know this was requested a while ago, so Tom, I hope you're still there, and I hope you're listening. What the fuck do you even say about this? It's a very varied project. No two songs sound the same. Your boy is mixing genres. He's mixing sounds very interesting ways.
And I'm so mad because I'm like, where are the goddamn lyrics? When I was looking it up, I was like, wait, this guy's sending me the indie stuff and there's only lyrics for one song? Oh, come on.
They're all in the Bandcamp.
Oh, goddammit. Because I was on Genius and I searched the first track. I was like, Minnesota, oh no, it's only like track 9. But yeah, the first track was so dope. Minnesota already putting you into, you know, the space of where this guy is. You know, I need to get back to Minnesota. And like just, well, from the lyrics I could remember, but like tornado, I'm like a tornado ripping through to get back. I'm like, oh. And then, oh yeah, there's one part where he says, I feel like I could, like he was like looking out into the vast beauties. Like, I feel like I could say my last words 50 years before I die. You know,
whoa.
That's what I wrote. Yeah, this nice laid-back, glassy-eyed funk. Yeah, that's what I wrote down. It was just, like, so nice. That, you know what I'm saying? It's such a nice sound, repping his state. I was feeling it.
It had that, like, coffee shop jazz intro. Real smooth, real chill. It's got a bleepy-bloopy guitar breakdown, followed by a solo. I just wrote down, yeah, this fucks. Like, It's really laid back and chill, but I like the personality that comes through on some of these tracks. My only critique, really, would be that sometimes the musicianship and the instrumentals are so attention-grabbing that sometimes Tom's vocals can be a little lacking in comparison.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of tracks where it's just like, I like the color of his voice, but there will be a couple times where it's like, ooh, is this doing enough for what this needs to be doing? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Not all the time, though. Really only on a couple songs was I like, I wish it would have punched it up a little bit. But I think it works for most of the album. The fucking attitude on Lenore is so funny.
Yeah.
Just the every line, or at least most of the lines, ending with just Lenore. Just like the
Lenore.
Constant... sounding so aggravated at this titular woman.
And it's one of those names that's not as common, so it sounds like it might kind of be saying something else sort of deal, you know, like...
It definitely feels like it's real. Like, this Lenore... like, this was written with an actual Lenore in mind, you know?
Yeah. And, oh,
I hope
yeah,
you
this
hear
is...
this.
Right? Oh my goodness, just the way it kind of set up this relationship. Yeah, like, about this guy, it sounds like, oh, he's giving up all this for, doing all this for this woman, but I made your own place, but there's this, regret or something like that that's going on. But then it's like, oh, but we never learned how to talk to each other, so you better keep it padlocked up inside, Lenore.
Lenore, yeah.
The self-awareness. like, we're not happy, but we're already committed to it, so...
Very Mountain Goats in that way.
Oh my god, yes.
Far From Home, pretty straightforward pop rock song, very well written. I have that for a couple of these, like I don't have a whole lot to say. Even following the lyrics, I didn't quote a lot of them, which is not to say that they were, like, shabby lyrics or anything. I think they went really well. Maybe just not the most, like, attention-grabbing for me. Don't take that to heart. Like I did quote on Right You Are... And I really liked how the song started with these affected lyrics. The affected vocals, like, they had some type of distortion going on. The lyric, these ghosts, they have no tact, whisper and whistle through the window cracks. They're practicing their stand-up acts. I want my money back.
What was that one track? The smell of cigarettes and vegan food is spilling under the door of your room.
Yes! Oh my god, yeah, just painting that picture. It was so fucking cool.
Yeah, see, that's what I tried to do. Like, this was just a solid-ass album, so it's one of those, man, this is the bit of a challenge mode of, like, okay, I really gotta be critiquing then, like, well, what is really, like, sticking out to me? Is each track really sticking out? Like, it's competently done, you know what I'm saying? We ain't even gonna argue about that, but it's like, but is it really, really sticking it as this track, you know, versus that track, you know? And, look, I still was going, like, nah, even with the sort of, like, okay, no, I don't have the lyrics, what's really popping out to me? So much still popped out to me in terms of, like, character for each track to track, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like right You Are, that starts with that low somber sort of feel, but then it has that psychedelic rocking, you know, harmonies, and then really bursts into that gliding guitar solo afterwards. That was just a dope ass track that, like, I rated it slightly lower than the rest just because it was like, oh well, these tracks are doing all this, but this was still kind of cool too. But it was like, you know, this is the level that we're at right now where it's like I had to be like, well, okay, well, the next to this, you know what I mean?
I think the only song that I gave a lower rating, because they were honestly pretty across the board fours, except for I'm Tony, which I gave a 4.5, just because that one went above and beyond, I thought, giving this personality, this third party character who I don't know who it's supposed to be. It's just some asshole industry type from the feel of it.
But the way it started was so weird, where it's like, I've encountered a lot of spirits on the radio, and then it's like, anyways, no one likes intros, let's go. It's like, what's happening? Yeah.
Intros aren't in, just go. Like, yeah. I really like that. I don't know what that was or what that was from, if that was a sample, but I like how that was used. The only song I didn't really love was Stray, the last one.
I thought it was like an okay outro track. The one I really didn't like was Freezing Cold, where it was just like, there just wasn't enough going on as an instrumental for me to really like, you know, dig it like that.
Oh,
no. You know?
I loved the instrumental Freezing Cold. It had a really catchy riff, too, that I don't remember how it went.
The icy xylophones was kind of cool, but like, yeah, I just feel like there wasn't enough happening, you know?
I understand. For as long as it went. I understand. Man, I hate to cut it there, but I don't really have anything other specific comments.
Because it's like, it's a solid-ass joint. I like the Low Flyers intro, where it's like, sitting by the river with the crows and the cloudy gray. We're watching Coca-Cola cans wash up on the shore. The wind is the water chopping all the waves, you know, into broken mirrors of the sky. But there's a brave tangerine reflecting from the river and refinery. Like, I like that it just puts you in that space, like, you know, imagery-wise. It's such a like, whoa, holy shit, I feel like I'm floating right there with you on those waves, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah,
yeah, I want to
sure.
give props to that. So overall, I gave it a 4 out of 5. Like, I thought it was solid as fuck.
I gave it a 4 myself. Definitely strong. I would love to see what else Tom puts out. From there, though, we go to a familiar face, Benny the Butcher, with The Plugs I Met.
Look, we've got going off fodder on this here album, on this here album request. You know what I'm saying? We got motherfucking, oh, an indie request. Here, how that stuff sounds. And like, all right, let's go. Let's really see how it is. And then we got the hip hop shit, which is, yeah, look, if I do just say so myself, fucking goddamn, like, good old fashioned gangster rap shit.
Look, I have so much quoted here, lines from the album that are so
holy
fucking
crap.
Good. Like, full fuck sections.
Look, this album is like, as I was listening to it, I was like, this sounds like what fucking Wu-Tang Clan should have been like 20 years later if they like put in new members and were like, all right, we gotta update the styles and make it sound like even more gritty and to the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that real fucking gangster shit, but with the fucking imagery. So it's like next level, like Raekwon shit, where I feel like I'm like, even though it's like, you know, gangster trap shit, but it's like, it's so specific in what it's talking about, and you hear the man, like, you hear the honor, you know, among thieves, sort of, like, in his rhetoric of, like, nah, man, but we stay with the people in the neighborhood and bring them up with us, so that when things are going good, they're going good with it. Like, you got that the whole time of, like, the fucking Don Corleone, yeah, we have family around here, you know?
Yeah, the first cut features Black Thought, who...
Oh my god!
I have so much quoted from Black Thought, but before we get to him, Benny's got some dope lines too. He says, that was us, next to a big, like I was Puff, the good die young, all the OGs 30 and up, and Alexander McQueen kicks just to dirty him up, money tree branches break when they're not sturdy enough. That was a dope line. But this...
Come on!
This 1-2 punch of... Before I knew an A&R, I was weighing hard. Back then, Nicki Minaj was in a training bra.
Oh, what was that one line? More bars than them niggas who got hit with the Reagan laws. Let's go.
And that was a verse ender, too. Like, that's how you go out. For real.
Oh, my God. And then going to Benny the Butcher. Yeah, just because it's like, he fucking represents. You know, like... see, I was good with the bad guy role. Water in my jewels, put them on and baptize those. Walk in my shoes, we got Shaq-sized souls. We flatline whack niggas wearing half-size clothes. You know?
Dude, I feel like we're going to quote the whole goddamn Black Thought
right,
verse.
Right. The fucking reward, what is it? The source quotable is the fucking 5-page fold-out.
We was blue-black, stuck in the glue trap. I had to pull my own self up by my bootstrap. Ooh. I was gonna end it there, but then he goes, decapitator of a hater in this modern day, my dossier, no less, dealer spray Cavassier. Oh. I'm Jean-Paul Gaultier, Tom Ford, and Cartier. Self-made, I fly vintage from Somalia. Like, goddamn!
Oh my goodness.
Just to round it out. So after butchering this track, it's back to counting the money guaranteed for me leaving. Microphones broke. Probably almost on par with all of Escobar's coke. When I'm finished, I'm gonna keep the tennis shoe on y'all throat just in case you mention in an interview you want smoke.
Right.
Fucking hell!
God damn.
Fucking Black Thought coming through, fucking representing big
Track
time.
One. Oh, and let's not forget the intro, because I was listening to it again
after
I listened to the album, and I was like, man, this. So I could have swore we heard this intro in another album before. Like, this.
It didn't sound
somewhere.
Familiar to me. I forgot you had said that.
About, like, a wolf licking the ice in a blade or something to that effect, and, like, oh, it's enjoying it because it's licking its own blood, or it doesn't realize it, or something to that effect. And I was like, holy crap. And then, like, realizing, like, how that was, you know, how he was relating that to, like, oh, man, you know, you put these people to this society, and you're, you know what I'm saying, giving them this limited knowledge and teach them how to survive like this. Well, you know what I'm saying, how are they going to be able to get out? And it's like, but then that immediate setup of it being, like, to their detriment, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, holy fuck, like, God damn, like, that's an opener for your ass.
I was so blown away by the imagery. They said, like, they put a blade and they put lamb's blood on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The wolf would lick the lamb's blood and not realize that he'd cut his own tongue and would eventually bleed out. So it's just like, damn, that's genius.
Holy crap. And then we get the album with that first track. It's like, holy shit. And then we get fucking Sunday School. And you're like, why is it called Sunday School? Benny the Butcher is a killer as usual, but 38 Special, oh my lord.
I only got one part from him, but he fucking brought it too.
He says, I got my own stick, like I'm about to come play pool, riding my car with bricks. That's one brave move. I never did it. That's why my one bitch, one paid mule. Niggas say they want the gun play cool, but they don't really want to go there. It's like Sunday School. I'm like, oh.
That's a really good line. I can relate. I've been there. Fuck Sunday School.
Right? I was like, when a line can get you in that exact feeling of like,
you're sitting there like, ugh.
I
tell
know
me
that
about
you made
it.
Me feel that, yeah. Like, remember that one lyric for,
I thought you were about to ask me something about, remember in Sunday School? I'm like, we did not go to school together, Archie.
Right? What a fucking... Oh, but there was another line. Yeah, here he says, a fast car with a gun trying to catch up to rivals. I got a lamb and a stick like I'm fresh out the Bible.
Dude, I fucking had that whole part quoted. He says, them N-words dead on arrival, don't question the title, no chance for survival, they ain't checking their vitals, a fast car with a gun trying to catch the rivals, I got lamb and a stick fresh off the Bible. Jesus Christ, that whole fucking thing was so good.
Oh,
my
man.
Only question for Sunday School is, buddy, why is the verse so goddamn long?
Yeah,
it just went on forever. I was like, goddamn, like, dude, what the fuck?
I remember having that scrolling moment where I was like, oh, okay.
That was so fucking funny to me. I'm just like, shit, okay, this ain't ending, huh?
This motherfucker had something to say.
Then Jadakiss is there. I don't have anything quoted from him, but it was nice to see him.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the veteran MC, I see him around, you know what I'm saying? But Benny the Butcher definitely represented enough for it to be like, you know, he did. I remember, yeah, once his verse started, I was like, this song could have ended with his first four lines, and that could have been it, because this song is already that good. Like, what?
Fucking Dirty Harry, though, not to be confused with Gorillaz here. RJ Payne is the clear star of the show here in my book.
Oh, move aside Dirty Harry, the Gorillaz original. Oh, come on. With only Booty Brown? Please, I'll take this any day.
What we got here, Payne, more bananas than the zoo. Gorilla and all my hammers got that panoramic view. You N-words gamble with life till that cannon blam at you. Small-minded, blow your brain and expand an N-word view.
Oh.
Shit. And then this one, he almost lost me in the first half. But then he caught me in the second half. This first half was kind of weird. Raw specimen, pure medicine. Benny said clean N-words up. I'm George Jefferson. Black Sopranos, we workin' three quarters Mexican. Bars hit you like finding out your daughter a lesbian. I was like, what? But then he goes, almost to be like, no, hold on. We got them hooked. It's the drugs that they came for. Leatherface, it's still blood on my chainsaw. Shower posse, N-words love that rain pour. Sorcerer, the torturer, that's what they call me pain for. Like, ooh. God damn! Fucking hell!
And the enthusiasm that he has in it, too. It's just like, holy fuck, you just back up when you listen to it.
Benny was dope on that cut. They also had Conway the Machine end the cut. not the strongest verse of the three.
But just what Benny the Butcher was, the bullshit he was talking when he was saying, like, yeah, I don't know why you pussy niggas bother. Big FN bullets flip a nigga charger. Just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. We got to talk about this line where he says, I washed off the blood money that my daughters inherit and kept the barrel so hot that it fogged up the mirrors. These niggas rap, so next we into some shit, check it. Look, I ain't going to clip you. I'm going to get your bitch pregnant. Like, oh. Like, damn, that's mean. That's just resentful.
You didn't have to do all that. Shit.
That's just spiteful. What did he do to make them niggas that mad?
The solo cut took the money to the plug's house. I only have one quote from it, but I thought this was clever. His, I had an amazing run. That's where I got my flavor from. Had me putting paper together like a staple gun.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah, this is the one where I thought the verse was really dope, but I thought the hook wasn't, like, as solid, you know? But, yeah, just the shit talking was dope. And then just the, what was it? Oh, yeah, where he was, like, just giving you the real, where he's like, come and cop it. Come and cop. Oh, no, it was a whole thing, yeah. Numbers, you inflated yours. You got a created buzz. My flow got the fans rethinking who the greatest was. A place where the fiends do favors for the neighborhood. You hear the, remember that? Come and cop and leave with extra rocks. He hooked the cable up. Miss me with that famous stuff. The label only hit me when the payment comes. So we gonna play these hot blocks till April comes. It's like, holy shit. Just the lead up and just the, you feel the character of like, oh, you know, this dude is just back in the street. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we doing this label shit until it don't move. And then we going over here, you know, like, then 18 Wheeler, like a solid enough track. But I thought Pusha T was okay. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
I remember the track that he did Nostalgia with Kendrick, and I remember that hitting just a little bit harder ultimately. You know what I'm saying? Like,
his verse was kind of a mess. It was yeah, really lopsided, and I couldn't really.
Yeah, okay, you got that too.
Yeah, it was a little jank. Like, it was nice to hear him, but yeah, it was a bit weird. Stabbed it in the pot so many times, I think OJ did it.
Oh man!
And his explanation here is, he's like one of the greatest stabbers of the whole universe, and one of the most famous stabbers I know. The fucking Juice. He used to play for the Buffalo Bills, so I had to. Did you?
Oh my God. Oh,
Did you have to?
I love the first line where he says, we don't do no price talk because they already know they numbers. Plus, me and your old connect was tighter than them Dolce numbers. And I was like, well, I legitimately, on this track, I was like, well, I don't know Dolce numbers. I don't know what that means. And then I clicked on it, and he's like, yeah, you know. The explanation was like, yeah, tight like Dolce numbers, you know. And I was like,
God damn it, Benny, no, I don't. The whole point of annotations is to explain. Why even say that?
Was he
just leave
so
it blank.
The people at Genius were just like, hold the microphones and like, all right, I guess that's it. I guess we got it.
Yeah, it's a guess. They know. Well, that doesn't help us. We don't know.
Oh, and then I just didn't like how Pusha T ended his verse where he said, the Benny the Butcher coming after me, push. And like,
yeah,
you know, when he explained it, like, they explained it as like, oh, he's like coming after him, like passing the torch. But listening to it, like, it sounded like those, oh, was your verse recorded to come first and like his was supposed to be afterwards? And then they mixed it up and then nobody thought about it. Like, you know, when they released it, like,
Or Benny is literally chasing Pusha T. Yeah. Benny is after me.
Oh, no.
He's coming after
push
me.
Out of my way.
Push. Yeah. I gotta duck down this alley.
Yeah.
Gangway.
And then gangway. No, that would not be Pusha T.
No, Pusha did not say gangway. I wish he did, though. He would have been like, what's your gangway?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Oh. Oh, yeah, he would have flipped it out. More like, what's the bird way or something?
Ooh.
Oh, man. Well, and then what I kind of didn't like is the ending, where it kind of felt like it was, did Nostalgia do this with Kendrick Lamar, where it like kind of quotes some of the dopest bars from the joint? So it was like, oh, run that back.
But
it was,
oh,
like,
yeah, that's right.
Some of the lyrics weren't that, like, one of them was like 18 Wheeler in Virginia. I was like, I don't know if that was a requotable, you know what I mean?
It
was just
no,
like,
I hated that he was like, Benny the Butcher coming after me. I honestly thought he meant like, hey, folks, stay tuned. Benny's gonna come back
right,
and hit you with some
yeah
good shit. And then it was just a sampled little hodgepodge thing at the end, and I was like, oh, that's it? I thought we were gonna get something else. Okay. I guess false alarm, everybody. And then we're already to the end. It's
that's right. We got a short and sweet one today, folks.
5 to 50, featuring Indiana, who just like gives these little spoken word bits.
I think that's his wife, right?
Yeah. And she's talking about how like, what did I say? Indiana? Did I say Indiana?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Look at
anyway.
You. Look what you've done. You ruined the podcast. You ruined it. I hope you get sleep and then you dream about it.
Delete the whole thing. Start over. Pull back up that Scarface tab.
That's
read
right.
Read it all over again.
You fucked it up. And this time, do it to the letter.
No stumbling. No mumbling.
Like, we just pull up this whole thing. Is like the fucking, what's that Coen Brothers movie? The Big Lebowski, where all the mans in there are actually written into the dialogue, you know?
Oh, like, shit, I didn't know that. That's funny.
We get to this last track. I love the sound of that car scraping off as the verse starts. I thought that was kind of
yeah.
cool. But this one felt like slightly, like, I enjoyed, like, what it was doing as a sort of, like, oh, here's the sort of, like, big picture of what he was, you know, and the sort of, like, his wife's kind of talking, but there was an element of it that did kind of feel like, especially at the end, where he's like, but everything is different now. Everything is legal. Totally nothing to worry about, police. You know, it's like, all right.
Yeah, I will say, and this isn't a critique of his stuff or anything. I'm just going to say, sometimes his stuff goes a little inside, lingo-wise and stuff, that to the layman, it doesn't all quite make sense to me. Like, you're obviously making music to people who know what you're talking about, and that's great. I don't know half the shit you're talking about half the time, which that's on me, you know?
But it's like, if it's compelling, I think that's all that ultimately matters.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because we've heard gangster rap, you know? We've heard all the different flavors. I'm totally going to kill you with my auto-tuned voice because it's the new 20th century. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've heard it all. But it's like, there's still a hierarchy to this shit, you know? Motherfuckers who stand out and put real color and flavor into their verse. And I feel like that's what we really got with this, you know? Like, even in this track that I think is one of the lesser tracks, just, like, overall as an experience of a track, I still feel like it puts some interesting, like, fucking lines in there. Like, oh, man, this is the one, where he says, how I'm in every verse admitting how I work a kitchen like it's church's chicken. What you know about taking bags? Cross state on a half tank of gas. The first around ain't a workaround. You gotta hit it twice just to make it last. Take a quarter, you make a quarter, put that together, that'll make a half. When the coke come presents, matter of fact, I ain't telling that niggas that shit.
He almost tells you his whole fucking recipe, and then he's like, matter of fact, I ain't telling y'all shit.
He's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? Give it away, fire. This is what I'm saying. Like, it just feels so real when you get that moment of like, oh shit, is he actually about to fucking, wait, is reality bumping up against the art right now, you know, like.
I love that fucking, like, get away from me, kid, you bother me type moment. I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck am I telling you for? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, wasted on fools, get out of my face. The villain taking away his whole plot.
I love that. I had that quoted too. If you weren't going to say it, I was going to. That's so fucking funny. Overall, I'd probably still give this a 4.
I gotta give it that 5, even with the little bits that I did. Because you know what? It kept it short, sweet, so the little flaws that it just like over, it made up for it. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to this music shit. Where it's like, shit ain't gotta be perfect or whatever, but just be so compelling.
Look, I mean, I've said it before on here, it's no secret. Short rap albums are the key for me, man. You cannot stick around for too long. Shit overseas, it's welcome. You start repeating shit, like,
right.
It just gets boring after
get in
a while.
And get out! With the last couple of lyrics, I love what he says, on the road to riches of jail bars with some niggas that I'll burn in hell for. I was feeling like the card was dealt wrong, got my money up and put myself on, motherfucker. Like, and the conviction that he says.
Yeah.
He's just like, holy shit.
I like the little insight. It was almost like a behind the music type thing with his wife, who was just like, we were just hanging out, chilling, and then, I heard a knock at the door, and Benny's like, hey, it's the cops, and my fucking heart dropped, and you're like, oh my God, what happened? And then she's just telling me these things, and then by the end of it, she's just like, oh, but it's all good now. Like, oh, well, that's good. I'm glad y'all are doing so much better now.
Yeah.
I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah, keeping that nose clean as far as the IRS is concerned.
That about wraps it up, huh?
Yeah, we ended with our little percussive
But brah,
drum
brah,
in there. But that
brah.
about wraps it up.
Short and sweet, like the albums are, see?
That's right. I think this might be one of the few times where our reviews are shorter than the two albums' length combined.
And we had to break some rough news at the top, and we still got out of
Oh,
here.
that's right. We know how to keep it short, sweet, to the point. Look, we're not fucking around with this internet content shit, all right? Like,
No, it's that thing. We've done it for so long, it's just become muscle memory at this point.
second nature.
But yes, as a brief reminder to everybody, if you want to get your requests in, at the time of this episode going live, we'd only made 5 spots available. They might be gone by now. I don't know. Check out Ko-fi, that is ko-fi.com/goingoff, GOINOFF.
OFF.
Can't
Yeah.
forget the F.
The double F.
The double F, for the $100 final 5 spot requests.
We're like the double R of DMX. We're Fuff Fighters.
Well, that'd be like Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Well, that's double O instead of double F, so maybe not. Maybe not, brother.
At least we won't get sued by Mr. T.
Anyway.
But anyway,
Oh.
yeah, for fighting foos. We weren't fighting foos this week. We were giving accolades to well-knowledged gentlemen.
What are you doing?
Because we were doing the
RC.
opposite of Mr. T. He fights foos.
Oh, he pities fools, and
Yeah,
we show respect.
right. Yeah, we showed respect to well-learned gentlemen.
That's true. You got it. I was confused there for a second, RC. You almost lost me. Then you brought it back around. You got me in the second half. So what do you got going on over on your side of the pond?
Oh, that's on my side of the internet.
Yeah.
It's ko-fi.com/rapcritic if you want to get the request for live streams. We just recently lowered those prices from 10 to now 8 for song requests, and it's half of that if you are a Patreon subscriber. So it's
Ooh.
only $4 if you're a Patreon subscriber, so you get that plus private streams that I'm doing on the Patreon. So get with it, act like you want it. So that's my double way to tie things in. You can get requests for live streams and stuff, and that's lower now. It was 50, now it's 30, as well as whatever you want to request on the Review a New Podcast or whatever the hell else I do. You know all the stuff I'd be doing. And if you want to hear all that content first, patreon.com/rapcritic, where I'll be actually uploading some new music that I'm actually down here in North Carolina working on. Oh my fucking God,
Oh
I've been so busy, I
shit!
fucking forgot to.
Till next time for going off, folks. We will catch you again on the next one. But until then, I'm Muse.
And I'm the Rap Critic, and the smell of human meat from butchered MCs is spilling under the door of the room.